Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you. These days around.
Our next guest on Downtown has appeared in a number of films, including The Glenn Miller Story, Some Came Running, was nominated for a Golden Globe for her work in The Evening Star with Shirley MacLaine, but best known for her several seasons as the quintessential TV mom, Mrs. C, Marion Cunningham, in Happy Days. We are thrilled to welcome to Downtown actress Marion Ross.
I wish you all happy days,
Well, Marion, this is Rich Kimble. It's so wonderful to talk to you. And we're here in Maine, and I understand in your home, you have a clock from Maine that you got when you were doing a show here with Gavin MacLeod.
I did. And it's a beautiful grandfather clock. I wonder what's the make of it. While we're talking, I'll have to walk downstairs and look at the make of the clock, and so I can tell you.
Well, you've got such a wonderful story. Let's go back to the beginning. You grew up in Minnesota and had big dreams, as so many people do. I was taken in reading your book, realizing you did something I did as a kid, and that was at the library, go through those Who's Who books.
Oh, yes. Right. And the thing is, it's like they're born, and then, instantly they're big hit, they're big successful. And I think, well, then what happened? What happened in between? How did all that happen?
Well, and you certainly had that. You had people you looked up to. Is it fair to say that the two people you respected the most in the entertainment world were Shirley Temple and Noel Coward?
Oh, I would say so. Yes, I would. Right. It's so amazing that, when we were doing the Rose Bowl parade. Okay, so all the TV moms, we were there, and they said, and Shirley Temple was the grand marshal that particular Christmas and New Year's. So they said, don't you want to meet Shirley Temple? I thought, I just like fell apart. I just became all gooey all over. And I came up to her with my arms out, and she said, don't mess me up. So I had to back off. I'm looking at my clock, and the make on this clock is Sly, S-L-I-G-H.
I don't know.
Hear that?
We'll look at. We'll get our research team looking into that here and see.
Okay.
So you went to college in California. You already had this love of acting, but it wasn't enough to have the dream. You had to work hard to get there. But at a pretty young age, you were already working with some of the heavyweights in the business, doing The Glenn Miller Story with Jimmy Stewart, Lust for Life with Kirk Douglas.
You know, I was under contract to Paramount when I was 23. I was 23 years old. And at Paramount in those days, everything was shot on the lot. All the big stars were there. Everything was happening. And C.B. DeMille was there in the lunchroom and Martin and Lewis over there having lunch, and it was pretty darn exciting. And Audrey Hepburn was there, and she was exactly my age. I wanted to kill myself.
Well, and eventually you ended up working with Noel Coward, and from your book, it sounds like that was a wonderful experience, that he was very nice to you.
Oh, he was just wonderful to me, and it was just amazing because one of the first books I ever read was Noel Coward's autobiography in the early years. And then for me to meet him, and it's just incredible. We had the first read-through of our script of Blythe Spirit at Humphrey Bogart's house because Lauren Bacall was playing one of the women. So there we were. With Sir Noel Coward, too exciting for words.
And you had a wonderful experience with him. It wasn't quite the same with Claudette Colbert, though.
No. She was, obviously, she was not happy with herself. So, if she touched me, she almost hurt me, In fact, he said, you can quote me. This is what Knauer, and she interrupted. She would interrupt Noah Coward all the time. So we're rehearsing. And finally, Noah Coward said, Claudette, shut your face. He said, shut my face. Shut my face. I mean, we were, that was war. That was war. Oh, God.
We're talking with Marion Ross here on Downtown. You traveled in some interesting circles, and I think proof of this is not many people in life can say that they got to share the news of their pregnancy with Cary Grant right away.
Oh, I know. It was amazing. We're doing Operation Petticoat in Florida, and I'm sitting up on top of the submarine, which right by the wharf. And Cary Grant came up, sat down beside me, and I said, I don't think I should go down in the submarine because I'm 2 months pregnant. He said, you are. And tears came to his eyes. I mean, it was a moment. It was a wonderful moment.
Well, acting is often about opportunity, and sometimes an opportunity presents itself in an unusual way. Is it true that by taking a part essentially as an extra in the movie Airport, that led to the big break that got you Happy Days?
Oh, boy. Wasn't that something? I was at such a low ebb. And my friends would say, how can you take that part? It isn't even paying the minimum salary. It's below the minimum. You're like an extra. And I said, because I have to. Because I had 2 little children. I was getting divorced. And because of being on one of those passengers on the plane, 2 rows in front of Helen Hayes, my friend Sandra Gould sat across the aisle, and she invited me to come to her house for dinner. And she also brought along Millie Gussie, who was a casting woman. And she said, you'd be good for the mother on this pilot we're doing called Happy Days. And the mother's part was very minimal at the time because Tom Bosley had just come from Broadway, won the Tony on Broadway for the musical Fiorello.
Right.
So the father was going to be very important. So, okay, so that was the beginning of that. Can you believe it? If I hadn't, eaten crow and taken this part on Airport, that led eventually to Happy Days.
And even that wasn't an immediate success. The pilot was not picked up. And what happened often in those days is that, well, we put the time and the money into this pilot. We have to use it. And so it aired, actually, as an episode of Love American Style.
Yes, yes. And so then meanwhile, I go down to the Globe Theater in San Diego and do a play. I do Summer and Smoke by Tennessee Williams. And I'm doing this play, and somebody comes to me, and they said, oh, I see in the paper that pilot you made sold. I said, you did. Oh, my God. So now my agent said, get out of that play. And I thought, I can do both. But I got out of the play, yeah.
Well, Happy Days has become such an iconic show, and the character is so beloved. But you write in your book, Marion, that your relationship with Tom Bosley, it was very strained at first. He was difficult to work with until you understood some of the things that were going on in his personal life.
Yes, his wife was very ill. I didn't know that. He had won the Tony on Broadway, and he didn't know who I was. I was way beneath him in his book. So he wanted somebody more well-known or somebody that he knew, something. So it took him a long, long time to get to know me and care about me, And so every now and then, we have to be able to take your lumps, right?
Exactly. Now, was the success for you of Happy Days, was it all you hoped it would be, or was it a little anticlimactic?
It gave me, I'll tell you what it gave me. It gave me money. I now have the money in the bank because the show ran 10 years. So I felt pretty well established now. So that helped me to get other roles. And because I was a real actress, I could do all kinds of character roles. One of the best parts I had after that was a show called Brooklyn Bridge. And it didn't become a big hit, but it was made at CBS. And I played a Jewish Polish grandmother, of all things. Here I am, Scotch-Irish girl from Minnesota, right? So that, I tell you, Brooklyn Bridge was wonderful. And I got to be Jewish. I just loved it.
Well, that was a wonderful time in your life, too. You're also in a very strong relationship with a gentleman named Paul. And you've said in your book, those were some of your absolutely happiest days.
They were. I was 60 years old. Can you believe that? Divorced. And I thought, I cannot be this old and be alone anymore. Because I got divorced when I was 40. So there was 20 years in there. Can you believe it? So I said, when I met him, I said, I'll have one of those. One of those.
Well, we've had a number of your castmates on the show, Henry Winkler, Anson Williams, Donnie Most, and over those 10 years that you all worked together, you really did become a family. And in reading the book, I thought it was wonderful that you wanted input from all of those people you worked with. And it's clear that this relationship between the cast was stronger than we see in most television show casts.
No, they each one wrote a chapter at the end. Can you believe that? And I get phone calls from Henry Winkler all the time. Ron is a pretty busy guy. I guess he's in the country. Who knows what? But he lives in the East. But I'm very close to Henry and Anson and Donnie. And we lost our Aaron. That was a tragedy, terrible tragedy, you know.
So is it safe to say, looking at your philosophy and the dreams that you had as a young girl there in Minnesota, it's great to have dreams. Everybody's got dreams, but it takes more than that. You've got to get to work and do the work, do the job to make those dreams come true.
Yes. Oh, I couldn't bear it. I couldn't bear it if I saw somebody who was so wonderful and successful. It just killed me. But, you know, I'm a middle child. Were you a middle child?
I'm an only child. That's even more confusing.
Well that's almost the same problem. And then I had a crippled brother, and I was the second little girl. For some reason, and my mother was a Canadian from Saskatchewan, from the high prairies of Saskatchewan north, and Irish. So I had a lot of drive. You've got to be born with that drive. You can't get that from anybody, you know.
Now, I've got a little guy at home who was very excited that I was going to be talking to SpongeBob SquarePants' grandmother.
And how old is he?
He's 6.
Oh, really? Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, I would. How fun. I would love to talk to him. Yes, you can talk to a little kid like that and take him anywhere. You know, make up stuff. Just have a wonderful time.
By the way, Carrie here has done some research, and the Sly clocks were made in Holland, Michigan, until the Bulova Company bought them out around 15 years ago.
Really? It's made in Michigan? Okay.
Yes. There you go.
The handsome piece. Right.
Thank you so much, Marion. It's a delight to talk with you. We really appreciate you making time for us today.
All right. Thank you, my darling. Bye-bye.
How great is that? Marion Ross from Happy Days and so much more through the years. Her book is a terrific read. It's called My Days, Happy and Otherwise. Came out about a year and a half or so ago. But a very interesting story for Marion Ross. And Carrie did some nice editing there. We did not expect, of all the things that you can predict, having to edit F-bombs from Mrs. C was not on the list of expected things for you to do.
No. We got through Gilbert, Gottfried, no problem. So I got to edit. I'm going to do some edit for Mrs. C.
She was great. Oh, man, those stories, though. Here she is, what, 22, 23 years old, going to a read through a table read of a play being directed by Noel Coward, starring in it with Claudette Colbert. And it's at Humphrey Bogart's house, and Lauren Bacall is there. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine?
And we talked about this a little bit off the air. It's so easy to forget that a lot of those sitcoms that we grew up with, those folks were on sitcoms, and that's what we remember them for. But they had theater and film careers well before that as well that weren't as well known to us growing up with their sitcoms.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that was fun. Marion Ross from Happy Days with us on Downtown.